Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and I welcome back to our political podcast. And I'm just going to say here, the reason why I haven't made a podcast in, you would say, about 2 days or maybe even three, was because I looked over my podcast plays, and I've only gained one play out of two, so I was on the edge of saying, I don't know if I should do another podcast, but at one point I said, well, you know what, let's just do it. I did a podcast and only got one play, which very much surprised me. And then I decided, well, let's see if we could do another podcast. I did that podcast and it got zero plays. So I said on Sunday and maybe even Saturday that I don't know if I'm going to do a podcast. So I decided not to. And obviously, I've only made two podcasts in obviously the last, I mean, not two, in the two podcasts in the last 5 days. But also I have is that I will be going, that I have to have some trips and like that, and such as that. I just have more of out-of-town such as stuff to deal with, more of school-related and such. But I might make kind of like sort-ish a vlog, maybe. But it's not going to be like a very long video. I might try to record, but it might be with my phone. But I'll probably not be able to record on Wednesday. And it's almost likely that I will not be able to record on Thursday either, because I will also completely not be able at all to even record a single bit of any audio. So I'm just saying, expect maybe one tomorrow, and very likely not, and very likely none on Thursday. But I will record on Friday. If the podcast plays start to go back up, if they don't, I might decide on maybe again continuing to have less and less breaks, because I make podcasts halfway between I get bored, but at the same time, I do want to at least get an average of 2 to 3 plays, because I don't see much of a point. Even though podcasting is okay for me, it's just more of I don't want to spend over 30 minutes of my time just to have it sit there forever and ever. But again, that is what I really got for today. So we're going to move on to a more of a different kind of topic here. And this is going to be more of a discussion, because my phone, it has a time limit, so it kind of locked, so I can't really use the phone. So this is going to be, again, more of a discussion rather than anything else. And so the first thing I would like to discuss is about Representative, I think her first name is Alalam Omar. She, again, I think, in the last past week, has made anti-Israeli comments. She's made again. And this has happened with the other, I think, representative, where she not only attacked Trump, but she also questioned the alliance between Israel. And you know my position on Israel, if you're on Twitter and such, is that I heavily support Israel beyond a doubt, and that I will probably, the Israel situation, unless things improve there, my position on Israel will probably never sway. It's just very likely I will never sway away. And so she, again, made comments against it. And this, obviously, as I said, was not the first time she made comments against Israel. And I was thinking, the Democrats, they got to at least have enough sense to say, well, we can't ever at the top. But I still thought the Democrats were going to continue to say, well, let's just keep her. Let's just keep her as at least one of the top people. And so they say, well, nah. Let's just ignore it and hope that it goes away. Democrats, as I've told in other podcasts, they've been dealing with so much controversy recently. They've had now the Virginia government into complete and total chaos with the sexual assault allegations, the blackface allegations on two leaders. In fact, it happened to the governor and the backup for the lieutenant governor. I think I've heard reports that he's even going to resign. And then there was also this CNN article stating, like, oh, Alalam Omar's apology is an example of America. I'm like, yeah, it's an example of anti-Semitism, not you want to encourage anti-Semitism. It's like, that really is what this CNN article really showed, at least to my point of view. And it really is. The entire Democratic Party right now is just what I would say a complete and total mess. They are a mess, and there's nothing else really to say. So I at least think that later they are going to not get as many votes, or at least not have as much support. And you also heard that, I don't remember the second candidate's name. I think her name was Amy or something like that. I don't know. I don't know her last name. I actually have no idea how to pronounce it. But also Elizabeth Warren's the rant, even under the Native American controversies, which have plagued her for the last, I think, 4 months. And I thought she might not run because of these, because I at least thought in a sense that she would see that she's not probably going to get that much support because of the certain scandal she's suffered. But instead, Elizabeth Warren said, Elizabeth Warren virtually told everyone, I'm going to run even though I've proven to be a liar. Or at least not a liar, but I don't actually check out things. Because that's the thing about Elizabeth Warren. She does not actually check out certain things. She just says it and just goes with it. Trump, he does the same thing. But at least he got some facts put in it. Yes, I can agree that Trump sometimes, you would say he doesn't put much factual evidence. But there are many arguments that Trump has pointed out that have supported certain claims and certain statistics by others. And so it's just overall, again, it's just overall the Democratic Party is continuing to suffer controversies. They try to make themselves look like, oh, we're not affected by it anyway. We're just safe. We're going to deal with this properly. When in real life, at least from what I see, they're not going to recover from this for some time. Not for like decades, but definitely it's going to leave a little bit of a black stain on the Democrat for a long time. But we're going to move on to something a little bit different, not much swaying away from the topic of Democrats and controversy. So I was streaming around on the internet, I think about 6 p.m. or so, and I found this article from Political Fact. And I trusted Political Fact a little bit because I like finding the news and checking out their polls a little bit, even though I still don't trust the polls fully. Because the thing is, during the California, like, governor election, I was just really hoping for John Cox to win. I was just begging. I was begging. You would almost say I was praying for John Cox to win because I was just afraid. I was afraid of the future of California because we had already had Jerry Brown, who was probably one of the biggest mistakes of a governor you could ever have. He was definitely a mistake. And then I had Governor News. Then you had Gavin Newsom, who was virtually the extreme version of Jerry Brown. And Jerry Brown was already an extreme version of a socialist. So I was just hoping. And at first in the midterm elections, John Cox at first was winning, I think, with 53% at one point. But he slowly, once we reached the Los Angeles area, it just became an all-out. Well, not maybe a landslide, but definitely a win for Gavin Newsom. And I detest Gavin. I hate him. I've looked at his Twitter. He again is virtually an Obama, but worse. He's trying to protect illegal immigrants. He's trying to attack Trump for literally everything. He attacks Trump for almost anything. He attacks Trump for a crime in California due to his laws. And I was like, you're attacking Trump for crime in your state. You're attacking him for crime in the state. You're the literal reason. You and Jerry Brown are the literal representations of why California is starting to have having a higher criminal rate and has become one of the worst states in America. And this is called the golden state of the entire country. And now it's become an embarrassment to probably Democrats to see. Because Democrats, or at least some Democrats who look at it, most Democrats still try to make California one of the great leaders of America, putting America into the future. When in real life, almost every conservative and even some Democrats look at California as an example of what socialism and Democrats have done to their entire state and probably what could be beyond. And so, also relating to the Gavin Newsom and such as that, I did look into certain polls and such as that on the border wall funding. I found that it rose a little bit. It went up maybe 2%, maybe even 3 and 4, but it didn't rise that much. You wouldn't say it's a much like President Trump's State of the Union address. That was a big day for President Trump. But this, he got some more support out of it, probably from his speech. But he probably still is facing a lot of attacks. Even though, as you know, I've always supported the wall. I don't support because before I thought of the wall, at first I was like, that sounds interesting. I then became more and more supportive of it as I looked at the border. But now I'm kind of saying, well, we don't really need, we need to put it more of in the very important areas, like the areas that aren't really guarded as much, and such areas that even have higher crime. That's where we really need to put it. Maybe a little bit more, just to make sure of certain areas that are still a little bit in the middle, mixing around. But I have a less, I still am very supportive of the issue, but I've become, you would say, more, not really left, but definitely I've become less on Trump's side. But again, Trump, I think he's had a pretty big weekend other than some certain incidents that maybe tainted his image a little bit. But I still think Trump had a big past 2 weeks. I think he still did. And it's just, really, the politics of America is constantly changing. They're always changing. One side gets the win, but then the other might get a little bit of a victory on them. But at least to what my political climate, at least from what I see, is that America is going to become more conservative. I just think so. Especially on the Gen Z and the new Democrats like the SJWs and socialists. I think America is going to become more conservative once they see what these people actually represent. You may think, but red teens. There's many millennials supporting socialism. Yeah, they're millennials who, as I've talked about before, just sit on their butt playing League of Legends, hoping to get $100 from some person who's actually worked for their lot, who's worked 30 years to get that paycheck. Instead, they lose $100 of it because someone else didn't want to get up today. And so I at least think, as I said, that America's going to turn more conservative, or at least it's going to lean less to the left, or at least the extreme left. It's because I've even said this, if I was to choose between Hillary and Bernie, and I hate them both, well, for their political value. I don't hate people because, as you know, I'm a Christian. We respect everyone, even if we hate them. We have to accept that they're a human being, but we just don't agree with them. I hate their political values, but I would rather have Hillary because at least she wouldn't put a healthcare system that wouldn't destroy the economy as fast as Bernie. Because Bernie's system is going to destroy America's much faster, especially if we add the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is going to take over $2 billion, I think at least, over each year to pay. That is a lot of money. That is 2/3 of the entire federal budget on environmental substances, environmental power, and others. But again, that is really what I got to say on that certain issue. So we're going to really move on to next. So we're going to kind of instead look at America really itself. America, again, I don't think really much has happened. I don't think much of America has really changed over time. I think it's more of just what Americans are now thinking rather than what's been physically happening. But actually, right now, I've just been reminded of certain other event that I actually looked into from Fox News. I didn't see it in CNN, unsurprisingly. But if you know about the certain Antifa member that assaulted some Marines in a protest, well, they've been found to actually have been tied to key Democrats such as Maxine Waters and such as that. And that, I think, at least, is going to be a big blow. If it starts to gain more and more ground, it's going to be a big blow. These things, they're going to dent the Democrats a little bit, but they're not going to really, you would say, change the entire political system. This could change at least some votes. This could change thousands of votes, or maybe even tens of thousands. At the very, very small possibility, change hundreds of thousands of voters. Because if the Democrats are seen to be supporting violence by the Antifa mob, people who even are Democrats are going to kind of say, well, I don't support that. I support free speech, but I don't support speech where it's assaulted by. So I think they might lean more and more to the right. Maybe not issue-wise, but they'll lean more to the right because they will say, I may not agree with them, but at least they're not attacking people. Because that's the thing. Democrats want to continue the old agenda that the Republicans have invented, the system of suppressing voters, and that they were the main reason why the entire country is in chaos with racial divisions. No, the Republicans were it. They were the same party that actually abolished slavery. They have supported the civil rights movement. They were the first party to in fact support the women's suffrage. And it's like the Republicans have been doing things that now would be considered greatness. Because this is the thing I even saw from PragerU. PragerU presented the fact of how Republicans have actually been on the supportive side of what we would see as great things. But instead, people now are switching up the Democrats from what they originally were, which were a bunch of, I don't want to make this sound really, you would say, offensive, but that's really what they were. They were very white, you would say, racists who believed in slavery, and they virtually switched sides. They turned the Republicans into the fascist Nazis who agreed with slavery, when in real life, as I said, they in fact were against slavery and abolished slavery. So this entire Antifa situation is, I think, I don't know if it's going to escalate because I haven't seen much updates other than that in the article. So I'm going to still be looking into the article itself, but if it does not continue to receive any updates, but if it attracts a different kind of news and further against Antifa, because as you know, my stance on Antifa, I absolutely hate them. I think they are on the edge of being a gang, because they really are on the edge of being a gang, because they are literally on the edge of being an actual group and not just a political gang that, as the Democrats like to say, suppress votes, because they like to say Republicans suppress votes in, like, such as Texas when they have voter IDs, when in real life, voter IDs are meant to be tracking illegal immigrants who should not be voting. They should not be voting, because it is estimated that I think at least 300,000 illegal immigrants voted during the U.S. election. That is literally close to 500,000. That could change an entire election itself. Like, if that was during the entire George Bush era, that could have changed the entire election itself. So I at least see that, why should we have criminals voting when they're very likely going to vote for Democrats like Hillary and Bernie, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, and such, because they want to open the borders and let those people in, rather than like President Trump and other conservatives and libertarians who want to increase border security in order to get more immigrants in, as I've always said, but control the border and stop cartels, gangs, and such. But that's really what I got for today. And so that's going to really end our little discussion in this podcast. But I'm just going to say here is that the trip itself, I don't know if it's going to be really exhausting, you would say. I also probably have some more trips in the plan. I was, in fact, saying on Saturday that I might upload or not. But actually, I found out that I was not going to go to the meet because it was for varsity members. And obviously, I'm not on the varsity, so I wasn't going to go anyway. So I instead am going to upload on the right. I am going to probably upload if I remember, because on Saturday I just forgot. That was just purely it. I forgot. And I also probably changed my schedule up a little bit. I went from really podcasting every single day to more of just, I'm probably going to podcast 6 days a week rather than seven, because I'm probably going to take Sunday off, because Sunday, as you know, it's church and such, and I have schoolwork before the week, which is definitely not going to help in the sense of get ready to like podcast, because podcasting, as I said, it's a thing that I like to do, but school comes first and I can't always podcast every day. So as severely summary of this, Democrats into trouble, more to political divisions, and more Antifa controversies, but also updates to our schedule and such. But as I said, just to remind out to anyone else, this, because I will be making more and more changes to the future and probably try to increase our content as we go, because I've always stated this in virtually almost every episode of this podcast since, I think it was January 21st was the, I think, official day that the podcast started. I had to make another one after that one was deleted, but officially, this one was created about, I think, December 30-something or something like that. So this podcast is getting close to its two-month anniversary. But as always, I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your night, and I hope you have a great day in the future.